"Nearly six," said Ron, checking his watch and then staring down the drive which led to the front gates. "How do you reckon they're coming? The train?"
"I doubt it," said Hermione.
"How then? Broomsticks?" Harry suggested, looking up at the starry sky.
"I don't think so. Not from that far away."
"A portkey," Ron suggested. "Or they could apparate. Maybe you're allowed to do it under 17, wherever they come from."
"You can't apparate inside the Hogwarts grounds. How often do I have to tell you?" said Hermione impatiently.
They scanned the darkening grounds excitedly, but nothing was moving. Everything was still, silent, and quite as usual. Harry was starting to feel cold. He wished they'd hurry up. Maybe the foreign students were preparing a dramatic entrance. He remembered what Mr. Weasley had said back on the campsite before the Quidditch World Cup. "Always the same, we can't resist showing off when we get together." And then Dumbledore called out from the back row, where he stood with the other teachers.
"Aha! Unless I'm very much mistaken, the delegation from Beauxbatons approaches."
"Where?" said many students eagerly, all looking in different directions.
"There!"
yelled a sixth year, pointing over the forest. Something large, much larger than a broomstick, or indeed 100 broomsticks, was hurtling across the deep blue sky towards the castle, growing larger all the time.
"It's a dragon!"
shrieked one of the first years, losing her head completely.
"Don't be stupid! It's a flying house!" said Dennis Creevy.
Dennis's guess was closer. As the gigantic black shape skimmed over the treetops of the Forbidden Forest, and the lights shining from the castle windows hit it, they saw a gigantic, powder-blue, horse-drawn carriage, the size of a large house, soaring towards them, pulled through the air by a dozen winged horses, all palominos, and each the size of an elephant. The front three rows of students drew backwards as the carriage hurtled ever lower, coming into land at a tremendous speed. Then, with an almighty crash that made Neville jump backwards onto a Slytherin fifth year's foot, the horse's hooves, larger than dinner plates, hit the ground. A second later, the carriage landed too, bouncing upon its vast wheels, while the golden horses tossed their enormous heads and rolled large, fiery red eyes. Harry just had time to see that the door of the carriage bore a coat of arms, two crossed golden wands, each emitting three stars, before it opened. A boy in pale blue robes jumped down from the carriage, bent forwards, fumbled for a moment with something on the carriage floor, and unfolded a set of golden steps. He sprang back respectfully. Then Harry saw a shining, high-heeled black shoe emerging from the inside of the carriage, a shoe the size of a child's sled, followed almost immediately by the largest woman he had ever seen in his life. The size of the carriage and of the horses was immediately explained. A few people gasped. Harry had only ever seen one person as large as this woman in his life, and that was Hagrid. He doubted whether there was an inch difference in their heights. Yet somehow, maybe simply because he was used to Hagrid, this woman, now at the foot of the steps and looking around at the waiting, wide-eyed crowd, seemed even more unnaturally large. As she stepped into the light flooding from the entrance hall, she was revealed to have a handsome, olive-skinned face, large, black, liquid-looking eyes, and a rather beaky nose. Her hair was drawn back in a shining knob at the base of her neck. She was dressed from head to foot in black satin, and many magnificent opals gleamed at her throat and on her thick fingers. Dumbledore started to clap. The students, following his lead, broke into applause too, many of them standing on tiptoe, the better to look at this woman. Her face relaxed into a gracious smile, and she walked forwards towards Dumbledore, extending a glittering hand. Dumbledore, though tall himself, had barely to bend to kiss it.
"My dear Madame Maxime," he said, "welcome to Hogwarts."
"Dumbledore," said Madame Maxine in a deep voice, "I hope I find you well."
"On excellent form, I thank you," said Dumbledore.
"My pupils," said Madame Maxime, waving one of her enormous hands carelessly behind her. Harry, whose attention had been focused completely upon Madame Maxime, now noticed that around a dozen boys and girls, all, by the look of them, in their late teens, had emerged from the carriage and were now standing behind Madame Maxime. They were shivering, which was unsurprising, given that their robes seemed to be made of fine silk, and none of them were wearing cloaks. A few of them had wrapped scarves and shawls around their heads. From what Harry could see of their faces, they were standing in Madame Maxime's enormous shadow, they were staring up at Hogwarts with apprehensive looks on their faces.
"Has Karkaroff arrived yet?"
Madame Maxime asked.
"He should be here any moment," said Dumbledore. "Would you like to wait here and greet him, or would you prefer to step inside and warm up a trifle?"
"Warm up, I think," said Madame Maxime.
"But the horses—" "Our care of magical creatures, teacher, will be delighted to take care of them," said Dumbledore, "the moment he has returned from dealing with a slight situation which has arisen with some of his other, charges."
"Scroots," Ron muttered to Harry, grinning.
"My steeds require, forceful angling," said Madame Maxime, looking as though she doubted whether any care of magical creatures teacher at Hogwarts could be up to the job. "They are very strong."
"I assure you that Hagrid will be well up to the job," said Dumbledore, smiling.
"Very well,"
said Madame Maxime, bowing slightly.
"Will you please inform this Hagrid that the horses drink only single malt whisky?"
"It will be attended to," said Dumbledore, also bowing.
"Come," said Madame Maxime imperiously to her students, and the Hogwarts crowd parted to allow her and her students to pass up the stone steps.
"How big do you reckon Durmstrang's horses are going to be?" Seamus Finnegan said, leaning around Lavender and Parvati to address Harry and Ron.
"Well, if they're any bigger than this lot, even Hagrid won't be able to handle them," said Harry. "That's if he hasn't been attacked by his Scroots. Wonder what's up with them?"
"Maybe they've escaped," said Ron, hopefully.
"Oh, don't say that," said Hermione, with a shudder. "Imagine that lot loose in the grounds!"
They stood, shivering slightly now, waiting for the Durmstrang party to arrive. Most people were gazing hopefully up at the sky. For a few minutes the silence was broken only by Madame Maxime's huge horses snorting and stamping, but then—
"Can you hear something?"
said Ron, suddenly. Harry listened. A loud and oddly eerie noise was drifting towards them from out of the darkness, a muffled rumbling and sucking sound, as though an immense vacuum cleaner was moving along a river bed.
"The lake!" yelled Lee Jordan, pointing down at it. "Look at the lake!"
From their position at the top of the lawns overlooking the grounds, they had a clear view of the smooth black surface of the water, except that the surface was suddenly not smooth at all. Some disturbance was taking place deep in the centre. Great bubbles were forming on the surface, waves were now washing over the muddy banks, and then, out in the very middle of the lake, a whirlpool appeared, as if a giant plug had just been pulled out of the lake's floor.